Hello, everybody. This is Pastor George Pearsons, and I welcome you to this very special edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. First of all, I want to thank Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for asking me to be on this week and to share the things that are on my heart as far as what we need to know about these times that we are in. How do we prosper in these times? How do we prosper in tough times? You know, at the time that we are taping this, we're still in the throes of dealing with COVID-19 and the residual effects of it. Coming out of it, we have our economy to deal with and the things in the economy. And I just really do believe that the Lord has some things that He wants to encourage us about where living in the kingdom of God is concerned, living in His kingdom here on earth. So, let's pray right now. Let's believe God over this time that we have together this week. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just worship You and praise You for every person who's watching us right now. And I thank You that You are in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives. You are still prospering us. You are still ministering to us. You are still strong in our lives. And we honor You and thank You for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing I want us to do is I want us to take a look at 2 Timothy 3:1. And that's where we're going to begin in this study. We are talking about prospering in tough times. And how do we prosper in the midst of everything that's going on? You know, right now, again, during the time of this taping, people have been laid off. They've been furloughed on their jobs. There's a lot of concern that's going on, a lot of consternation about how are we going to get this paid? How are we going to be able to pay our mortgage? How are we going to be able to pay our rent? What are we going to do in times like this? And you need to know and you need to understand. And I'm thinking right now about a word from the Lord that Brother Copeland had back about 10 years ago, talking to us during the Southwest Believers Convention. And I'll read just a little portion of this to you. The Lord said through him, "The world is in serious trouble, but for the household of faith and those that will cling to my word and listen very carefully, everything is going to be all right." And we need to stand on that and we need to believe it and we need to receive it, that everything is going to be all right. But Pastor George, what about the things that are going on around us? What about the things that we're seeing on the news and what's taking place in our nation? You know, what happened at the beginning of this year, when we first started out, I heard somebody say one time or read about this, they want to press a reset button on 2020 so that we can start this thing all over again. But here we are in the midst of the situation that we have been in. And what does that say about the times that we are in? When we look at 2 Timothy 3:1, and 2 Timothy 3:1 is very clear about this, and it's very simple. "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." So here we are. We're in the last days. But do we as believers suffer in these last days? Do we as believers live under a cloud of lack and under a cloud of sickness? No, not at all. The government of Jesus is increasing, and it's increasing more and more. And you and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have definitely been redeemed from the curse of lack. We've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. We've been redeemed from the curse of not enough. And, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It doesn't matter the times that we are in. We are still being taken care of. But what it says here in this scripture, that perilous days shall come. Well, I looked up the word perilous in the Greek. Listen to this. Difficult days, dark days, dangerous, furious, fierce, hard to take, troublesome, savage, and tough. There's one translation that says, you must understand this, that in the last days, distressing times will come. And the Amplified translation, understand this. In the last days will come or set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Well, as I just read to you from that word that Brother Copeland gave, the world is in serious trouble. But we have to understand something about ourselves, believers. people who are born again, people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that even though in these perilous times, which are described in those words such as difficult and pressurized and stress and trouble, we have to understand that according to John 17:16, Jesus said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now that really opens a door to us to understand how to deal with the times that we're in. Really, how to understand any of the times that we're in. We may be in this world, but you and I are not of it. We are not of its economic system. We are not of the things that are trying to bear down on the world. But you and I, as we will learn this week, we've been set apart. We've been separated from this. And we live on the earth in a different place, and we live in the kingdom of God. That's where we are. So during these 5 days that we have together, I want you to really focus in. Especially if you're struggling right now, if you are one of those that were laid off and you've had a hard time finding another job, if you're one of those that you were hit hard financially, or maybe your investments were hit hard. And I'll let you know something, that where you and I live, especially as a tither, as a giver, as a sower, the devil cannot touch our investments. Well, Pastor George, how does that work? Well, it's very clear in the Word of God that we're in this world, but we are not of it. And so we're protected from it. We're protected from the ravages of it. And we are protected from the collateral damage of the world system. And the Lord has ways, God has ways to keep you on top and not the bottom. We are the head and not the tail. And He can do that right in the midst of whatever you are going through and whatever you're experiencing right now. He can take you into that place of His protection, His prosperity, and you can prosper in tough times. Let's take a look at this scripture in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 is talking about really who we are in Christ. And that's so important that you and I know who we are in Christ, that we know where we stand in Him. And as according to the 112th Psalm, our hearts are established. They're established in Him. No matter what is going on, no matter what is taking place, we are established in Him. And you have to know the position you hold in Him, positionally, where you are in Him. And it's very clear in Colossians chapter 1 in verses 12 through 14. Listen to this. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet," or made us able, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." That scripture says so much about positionally where we are in all of this and what's going on and what's happening. Well, it says, first of all, He's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. We are joint heirs with Jesus, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Then it says this, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." You and I now have been delivered from the power of darkness. And anything that is of the curse is darkness. That's what darkness is. Lack is darkness. Just barely making it is darkness. And when you were born again, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you were, and I was, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You and I have been translated out of the ravages and the effects of this world. It says, "In whom we have redemption." That word redemption means rescued. We've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And it's been through His blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, and given us even the forgiveness of sins. So we've been translated Now, what does that mean translated? In the Greek, the word translated means transferred, to be transferred, or to be carried away. Those in military understand what a transfer is. You understand that when you're transferred from one base to another, and you might be transferred from one part of this country to another, or you might be transferred outside of the United States. There's a transfer that takes place, and you are taking you and your family, and you're being carried away, or another definition of the phrase transferred, to be removed from one place to another. You are removed from one place to another. So those of you that are transferred, let's say, from the cold areas of maybe Europe or something like that, and you're transferred to Hawaii, you're going to have to make some changes. There's some cultural changes that are being taken place from one very cold atmosphere to a very warm atmosphere and palm trees and ocean. There's a whole difference in that. And especially if you're transferred from, let's say, the United States of America and you're transferred to Germany or someplace like that. There's a whole culture there. There's a language there. There are things that they do there that are different from what you do here. Well, that's the same thing when you're translated out of darkness. When you are translated out of darkness, you are translated from a lack mentality. You are translated from a poverty mentality. You are translated from that darkness, and you've been carried off and carried away, and you have been placed into this place of the kingdom of God. And what a glorious place it is. What a place it is to experience the provision of God. He's your source. No longer is the world your source, but He is your source. It says in verse 13 of the Amplified Translation, "The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control of the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Isn't that wonderful? To be transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, verses 13 and 14 from the New Living Translation says, He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So we have been rescued. We've been rescued. Well, Pastor George, we're still here. We're still in the same house. We're still in the same neighborhood. Yes, but you have taken up a new position in the kingdom of God on earth. And I'll tell you an illustration, which we'll get to this later into the week, but an illustration is what took place with the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. There was light in the land of Goshen and darkness in the land of Egypt, and they were very, very close proximity to each other. But one was experiencing the conditions of the kingdom of God. The other one was experiencing the conditions of darkness. And you see, that's the exact same thing that takes place with us here. I use this illustration quite often, that there are partners of this ministry that earlier this year, they were in the midst of a terrible tornado that came ravaging through their neighborhood. But this particular couple, you look at their house and none of what took place around them took place with their house. What in the world happened? What took place there? Well, we just know that these believers who were using the name of Jesus, who were pleading the blood of Jesus, whatever storm was there was tiptoeing around that house, and that house stood. You've seen pictures of this before. You've seen pictures of houses that are standing right in the midst of everything else around them being flattened out. Well, that's what we call same conditions, different results. And that's what we expect in the kingdom of God on earth. Same conditions, but we get different results. And that should be an encouragement for other people to want to become born again and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because in that they'll experience protection and they'll experience the healing power of God and the delivering power of God. And the more we know about this, and this is what's so important, we must adjust our words, our thoughts, and our actions to the kingdom that we've been translated to, or we will keep living in the dark. And we do that by renewing our minds in the Word of God. We renew our minds. I was born again in the summer of 1972. And I'm so thankful that I was connected to a church. I had a pastor. And then when I went to Oral Roberts University, I had a church that I was going to there, studying the Word of God. Then came to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and totally immersed in the Word of God, and still am totally immersed in the Word of God. Do you know what I'm doing? I am adjusting my words, my thoughts, and my actions to kingdom living and kingdom culture. Kingdom culture is so important. The kingdom culture that we align ourselves to, we have to learn about it from the Word of God. There are some people who've been born again for years but do not know that they've been translated into the kingdom of dear son, his dear son. They have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. So they're still living in that place. We have to change our thinking, our actions, our words, and align them with the kingdom culture and the kingdom of God, and not live in the dark any longer. Let me give you two quotes from Pastor Bill Winston. He said, "We must get our minds renewed to the reality of the kingdom of God and who we are in that kingdom." Who we are. Who we are in the midst of a coronavirus or whatever is going on. Who are we? And what is that? What is that devilish thing that has nothing against us? That's part of the curse. And Jesus bore that and delivered us from it, so we don't have to take it. It doesn't belong to us. Well, Bill Winston also said this, "Don't tell me what the kingdom of God can't do." Can you hear him say it? "Don't tell me what the kingdom of God can't do. It can do, and it can be used specifically to cut through anything, to get you anything that you want, independent of what is going on in the world system." That is a powerful phrase right there. He said, "Don't tell me what the kingdom can't do. It can do, and it can be used specifically to cut through anything, to get you anything you want, independent of what is going on in the world system." Independence from the world system. Independence from the world sickness. Independence from all of that, that's what the kingdom of God will do for us, and that's why we can prosper in the toughest of times. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." We belong to God. We belong to Him. "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Let me bring you this thought. We are not subject to the times. That's important. And that's a theme that'll run through in this week. We're not subject to these times. Let me read to you Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10, Amplified. "The Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and desperation. And they who know your name, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy, and will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, and for you on the authority of God's word and on the right of their necessity." So let me give you a couple of phrases. We no longer live under the dominion, the rule, control, or influence of whatever direction the economy and the world system are going at the moment. We are not subject to the times that we live in. We are not subject to the curse. We are subject to the blessing. What is the blessing? Genesis 1:28. "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it." That works no matter what kind of economic system is going on. We are now subject to and governed by another economy and another system called the kingdom of God. The times are subject to us. Yes, they are. The times that we live in, they're subject to you as a believer in Christ Jesus. We are subject to the authority of God's Word, the blood of the Lamb, and the name of Jesus. And in troubled times, when the cost of living is high, and people have lost their jobs, and they're struggling, when all of that is going on, and debt has accumulated, God has promised to be our refuge and our high tower. Folks, we don't just survive in tough times. We prosper and we thrive. He'll lift us up and over any economic situation that's going on, any economic downturn that's going on. Don't let fear get on the inside of you. I've heard people, different pundits, talking about, we've got a great depression, we've got a great recession, we've got all of this going on. It does not have to touch you and me. We will prosper right through it. In the same way that Brother Copeland's father, A.W. Copeland, during the Great Depression of the 30s, he and his wife, Vinetta Copeland, they tithed, they prayed, they stood on the Word of God, and they had a job, and they were prosperous all the way through the Great Depression. So don't get in fear over this. Don't start walking in fear. God has a covenant determination to prosper you and me. He's determined. He's determined, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those that will be open to Him to receive His blessing and to receive His goodness. He wants to prosper you in the toughest of times. And what we need to do is we need to walk by faith and receive and believe all that He has for us in this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people right now, and I thank you, Lord, that we're living in a different culture. We're living in a different place. Even though we're on this earth, we are not of it. And I thank you, Lord, that in these times, we don't just survive, we thrive. The times, Lord, we're not subject to these times. We live in the kingdom of God on earth. And I thank you, Lord, that we are thriving. We're flourishing. I pray over all of those right now that are needing jobs. Father, I thank you that jobs are coming, good jobs. We call them around here assignments, perfect assignments from heaven. Lord, you are opening the door. You are prospering your people, and you are watching them, and you are seeing them at this time and at this hour. Debt-free and free from every financial burden. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And what a time we're living in. You know, at the time that we're doing these broadcasts, we're right in the middle of the COVID-19 and all of the things that were going on. And here we are some weeks later. But I just really had this in my heart to bring to you, and that is that we are called by God to prosper in tough times. No matter what the economy is like, no matter what the economy is looking like, even today, you and I are called to live in a place of total prosperity in the middle of whatever is going on. No matter what is taking place with the economy and the direction that it's taking, you and I are not subject to the times that we live in. You and I are called by God to flourish and thrive, not just survive, not just get by. And we began talking yesterday about the fact that in the perilous times, there are perilous times that come that we know the end is near, and we're in the midst of perilous time. We're in the midst of times of great pressure. But even in the midst of these perilous times that we're in, we can live above and not beneath. We can be the head and not the tail. We can live on this earth, even though we are here in the earth, we are not of the, as Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of the world. So in this series that we're talking this week, we're talking about prospering in tough times. And no matter what happened to you, maybe you were laid off from your job. Maybe during the COVID-19 and all of that, there were certain things that, and I know there are people that actually had to shut down their businesses because their business has just dried up. Well, if you will accept Jesus as your Lord and receive Him, and those of you who know Him as Lord, you listen to this. You need to get your mind renewed that He wants to bring you back on top of again. Maybe you got discouraged in the middle of that. Maybe that was a very difficult time for you. Well, it's time for you to walk in the fullness of your covenant, and it is time for you to walk in those high places that God wants you to walk. He's restoring things. He's restoring things in your life. He's restoring your finances. He's restoring your future. Just listen to these words that the Lord has given to us, His word about where we are right now. We began yesterday talking from Colossians chapter 1. And talking in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14, you and I are not subject to the times. We have been delivered from darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It says that in verses 12 through 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Father has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a tremendous scripture that is! We've been delivered from the power of darkness. You and I, darkness includes everything that the curse is, everything that the devil wants to do. You and I have been delivered from that darkness. And what has happened to us? We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of the Lamb. We've been redeemed. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of poverty, lack, and debt. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to experience the fullness of His glory and the fullness of His life and all that He wants to pour out on us. From heaven, He desires for us to have days of heaven on earth. Well, yesterday we talked about this. We no longer live under the dominion, the rule, the control, or the influence of whatever direction the world system is going. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on. You and I don't live under that dominion. We do not live under that rule or that control or that influence of whatever direction the world system is going. We don't live there any longer. Why? We've been translated. We found out yesterday that the word translated means to move from one place to another, to shift from one place to another. This is a kingdom culture that we're living in. And I remember when I moved from the east to the south. When I moved from Massachusetts, this is 1975, I went from Massachusetts and I lived on the East Coast, born on the East Coast. I was born in New York and I moved when I was 20 years old. I moved from there and I moved to Oral Roberts University. And I got my first taste. I guess the Lord was doing that because He didn't move me directly to Texas because I needed to do like a decompression chamber in Tulsa and then move to Texas. Then after that first year, I met Terry Copeland there, and her father, Kenneth Copeland, invited me to come to Texas for the summer and start his art department. That was my background, graphics. And so I went from Cape Cod to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I just remember when I was flying from Cape Cod and I was looking down over Oklahoma, I thought, boy, it's flat down there. Wow. And there were little holes with water in them. That was a change from living on the ocean. Well, then I moved that summer from ORU to Texas, and boy, did I get a culture shock. I had to learn the language. I had to learn a new way of eating, which they don't let me eat that way anymore. But anyway, I had to learn a whole lot of things about living in Texas. I had to learn to say, y'all. I had to adapt to the new culture that I was in. But I joyfully did that. I enjoy that. I enjoy the Texas culture. I'm glad that I'm living in Texas. For all of my lovely friends on the East Coast, I enjoy living in Texas. But I have adapted myself to that. But there was a culture. There was definitely a culture. I remember the first day that I came to work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I pulled up in the car and I parked under. I thought this was interesting because in the parking lot there was one tree. I wasn't used to that. There was one tree. And everybody was parked up around that tree. I thought, why are they parked around that tree? This is most interesting. You have to understand this was June of 1976, summertime in the state of Texas. Well, I parked my car out there in the sun, and after work was over, I went back and I sat down in my car and put my hand on my steering wheel and went, ah! I burned my hands. I thought, oh, I understand now why they put their cars under trees. Because it's hot. Well, I had to adapt to that. I got one of those things that you open up inside the window to protect the front of the car. Anyway, all that to say, I adapted to the new culture. We have to adapt to this new kingdom culture. We are subject to and governed by another economy and another system called the kingdom of God. Now, we are subject to the authority of God's Word. We're subject to the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And you and I prosper and thrive in tough times. We prosper and we thrive in tough times. We're no longer subject to the times. The times are subject to us. Why is that? Because we have dominion over them. That's the blessing. That's the blessing that God spoke over Adam, over man. The precedent was set. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Have dominion over it. Subdue it. If it gets out of place, you put it back. So that's what we're living in right now. And I want to talk to you today that the topic that we're speaking about is prospering in tough times. And the title of this one is called The Separation Effect. The separation effect. When we look at Scripture, we see example after example about this separation effect. And I want us to begin looking at John 17, John chapter 17, and verses 14 through 17. Let's read this. Jesus is praying over us. He's praying over you. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He's talking about his disciples here. He said, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that you should take them, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. There's evil in the world. There's poverty in the world. But he's saying here, I'm not praying to take them out of the world. I'm just praying that you should keep them from the evil that's in the world. And he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the word sanctified there means to separate. Separate them from the evil that's in the world. And that's what Jesus was praying over the disciples, and that's what Jesus was praying us, because he said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Well, he was praying for us. He was talking about us. And he was saying, in the same way that I'm not in the world, or I'm not of the world, they are not of the world. And let me give you a couple of scriptures that backs this up as witnesses to this. Jesus keeps us protected from the world's system. It cannot touch you. How can you say that, Pastor George? Well, that's what we're talking about this week. That's what we're saying this week. That the effects of the world cannot touch us in this separation effect. Listen to this. Matthew 6:13, Jesus was praying. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To be delivered from the evil that is in the world. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So it is the will of God for you and I to be delivered from this present evil world. That belongs to us. That protective covering, that bubble around us, that belongs to you and to me. In 2 Peter 1:4, in the Amplified Translation, it says this. It says, by means of these, he's bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, listen to this, the promises of God, the Word of God that you and I read and we stand on, he said he's bestowed upon us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through these promises you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and the corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. Now, that's a lot of words. I'm going to go through this again. But you need to know and you need to understand that through the Word of God, the promises of God, so that you might escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness, the corruption that is in the world, because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and you can become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. So we look at a scripture like that and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. By faith, I believe I have escaped by flight from the moral decay and the rottenness and the corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed. I am a partaker of the divine nature of God. The divine nature of God lives in me. I am in Christ Jesus. He is in me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And He doesn't set us here in this earth to fail and dry up and to die in the midst of a financial storm that's going on. No, no. He has brought us into that place of protection. He separated us from this evil world. As we said in John 17:16, we're separated from this world. We are as separated from this world system as Jesus is. And in the same way, the Father loves him as much as he loves us. That's true. That is so true. Then I'll read it to you in John 17:23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and you've loved them even as you have loved me. So he loves Jesus as much as he loves you and me. And because of that, he will keep us from failing. He will keep us from falling. He will keep us from getting into a place of financial disaster. He will provide. He will supply. He will provide more than enough in the midst of any serious situation that we're going through. We are no longer subject to the world's collateral damage. It doesn't belong to us. It doesn't. So we're talking about the separation effect. We're separated out of this. And I'll add one more portion to this. There's a wall of redemption around us. Yes. A wall of redemption. We're looking at Exodus chapter 8 and 23. That account of Exodus, it is so amazing to read this and to see this and to get the picture of who we are in Christ Jesus out of this. In Exodus chapter 8, we see something here. And it says in verse 22, it says, I will, well, let me back up. Sorry about that. I keep seeing, I have my own version of the Kenneth Copeland highlighted yellow edition, and it's a lot of yellow in here. But starting with verse 20, okay, at the end of verse 20, beginning of verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he comes forth to the water, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if you'll not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and upon thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, also the ground where they are. And God said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell." Now, the word sever there means a division. I will put up a division between my people and the Egyptian people. And in my side reference there, when it talks about this division, it's a wall of redemption. It says redemption. It is a wall of redemption. So that he said, I will put up in verse 23, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. I'll put up a wall of division. There'll be a literal wall between the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt. Even though they are in close proximity to each other, there's a wall that separates them. And so let me just read this really quick. I'm running out of time here. But there's a wall of redemption, a distinction, a deliverance. And there's a wall of redemption between us and the failed Babylonian system. There's a wall between us and sickness and disease. There's a wall between us and financial failure. Do you see that? Do you get that? Do you understand it? We have to adapt ourselves to this kingdom culture. And that's what he's talking about right here in Exodus. He said, I'll put a wall or a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And he gives several examples. Exodus 9:4, it says, and the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. That's the difference. That's the difference between the world and the kingdom of God. There were cattle. They were in close proximity to each other. There were cattle that were out there, and there were cattle that were falling over dead. And then there were the other cattle of the Israelites that were not touched at all by that. What was that? That was a severing. That was a severing between disease and health. We live in that. We walk in that. There's a separation effect. Well, in Exodus 9:26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. The children of Israel were not experiencing hail. The children of Egypt were. There was a severing. There was a difference. There was a difference between the two. Yet they were in close proximity with each other. Being here in Texas, the sky is wide open here. I really enjoy that. And you can see for miles upon miles upon miles. Where I grew up in Massachusetts, we had a lot of trees. And so it was, unless you were at the ocean, it was hard to see these great distances. But here, you can see it's a panoramic view. We have a view from up here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And you can look out all over and you can see places where it's raining and where it's not. You can see places where it's raining and it's thunder and it's dark clouds. And then over here it's sunshine. That's a picture of who we are. We are in the sunshine. We're not being stormed upon. We are not being devastated. No, there's a division. There's a separation effect. And then finally, Exodus 10:21, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hands toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt, a darkness that is felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They had light in their dwellings. We may be in this world, but we are not of it. We are living the separation effect. You've got to get that. You've got to see that. You've got to understand that. That no matter what is going around you, you remain protected. You remain prospering. You remain healthy and you remain delivered. And the reason that we do that, the reason we do it is so that we can bless those who are struggling and having difficult times. So we're talking about prospering in tough times. We've talked about the fact that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, according to Colossians 1, and we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we've been separated. Yesterday we talked about the separation effect. We've been separated out from this world. Even though we are in it, we are separated out from it. And we used the illustration yesterday about the kingdom of God where Exodus was concerned and the children of Israel and how it was light in the land of Goshen, it was darkness in Egypt. There was a separation effect. There was a wall that was separating the two. So as a believer in Christ Jesus, we walk under that divine protection. There's a divine protection that we walk in. There's a supernatural provision that we operate in. We are able because of El Shaddai. And El Shaddai is the God who is more than enough. He will provide for us even in the worst of times, even when it looks bad, even when it seems like everything is going down. El Shaddai is there. He's there to provide for us. He's prepared for the overflow. I'm declaring overflow in your life right now. I'm declaring more than enough in your life. I'm declaring too much, and your cup runs over in Jesus' name. Well, so many people have gone through some difficult times over the last couple of months, and there are folks that have been out of work, that the businesses had to shut down. And I know that the Lord has wonderful jobs that are available to those who will believe God for it. Perfect assignments in your life that He will provide you with and supply you with. So we're talking about prospering in tough times. And today, I want to talk to you about a concept, a spiritual concept. Oh, before I start that though, and you can turn to Psalm 37, I want to read this to you. This is so good. This was a word from Brother Jerry Savelle. He gave it at the end of March. Listen to this. Brother Savelle said this, the Lord said through Brother Savelle, do not fret and do not fear. I still plan to give you a supernatural year. It's not over and you will not fail. Didn't I tell you that the gates of hell will not prevail? Rest in me and I'll see you through. And I will bring to pass all that I said I would do. So thank your Father in heaven that you have a choice. You can choose to fear or you can choose to rejoice. So rejoice and do not cease. Father, we rejoice in you right now. Come on, rejoice with me. Father, we rejoice in you and we praise you and thank you for a supernatural year, 2020, the year of new visions, manifest power, and the greatness of your presence in everything that we do. We thank you for a supernatural year. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go over to Psalm 37 and verse 25. We're talking about same conditions, different results. Same conditions, different results. And it says in Psalm 37, 25, the NIV tells us this, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They're always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. He's saying here, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. This is what it's like to live in the fullness of who we are in Christ. That's what it's like to live as a believer who stands on the Word, who doesn't draw back, who doesn't quit, who has bulldog faith, and that really, really stands and believes God for the things in their lives and just absolutely refuses for the devil to take hold of anything, any portion of their lives. That's what is available to us. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And they're always generous. They lend freely and their children will be blessed. You know, people talk about this and they talk about tough economic times. And they're talking about if I could just survive, if I could just barely survive. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about those survival shows that have been produced. And what they do is they take a person, they drop them off in some desolate, remote location. All they have to eat are bugs and leaves and tree roots, and their supplies are limited. The conditions are barely tolerable. Their sleep is rare, and they live in a survival mode. And you know what I'm talking about, these programs, Survival This, or there's one, Survival Alaska. And so they put them out there. But many Christians are thinking this is the way you have to live, especially when you're facing tough economic times. That's the way that they're supposed to live. I'd be happy if I could just tread water. No, it's not the will of God for you to just tread water. It's not the will of you for God for you to just get by. It's not the will of God for you just to hunker down and weather the storm. No, no. In tough economic times, we don't just survive, we thrive. That's important. In the toughest of economic times, we don't just survive. We don't just get by. We thrive. We refuse to fail. In tough economic times, we flourish. We flourish. And I want to give you an example of this. We're talking about same conditions, but different results. And I'm looking now in Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 5. And in this account, you have two people, two different people, same conditions, same situation, same economic situation, but you have two different people with two different outcomes within the same conditions. Like I said, same conditions, different results. So let's look at this in chapter 17 of verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. So we see here that here's a person, cursed is the man that trusts in man. We cannot trust in man in times like this. We have to trust God. We must trust God. And he said, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. The person who has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with his word, nothing to do with church, nothing to do with the things that are so wonderful for us. He has nothing to do with them. And this is the result of what takes place in his life. He will be like the heath in the desert. What is the heath? But it's a stunted shrub. It's destitute. It's hopeless, dried up. He'll be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Won't even see it when good is coming his way, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. That's what happens to the individual who does not put their trust in God. And God is not keeping people from this. He's reaching out in every way possible. He's reaching out through us right now. Maybe there's somebody who does not know Jesus as their Lord, and you're watching this, and you're thinking, what is he talking about? Cursed is the man that doesn't trust God. I want to trust God. Well, if you want to trust God, you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just say this after me, Jesus, be my Lord. I receive you now in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is to do that. And you're born again. Well, you enter into the kingdom and then you start learning some things. You get your mind renewed to the Word of God. And you get your mind renewed to the fact that God is your source. God is my source. Say it with me. God is my source. He's the source of all of my supply. He supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's where it comes from. That's where it happens. And I'll just read this scripture to you really quick. This one over here in Philippians. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's how we operate. That's how we live out our lives on this earth. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what He does. I'll read to you. I keep this in my Bible. This is a yellow sticky of Rick Renner's translation of that scripture. It said, "But my God will supply your needs so completely that He will eliminate all of your deficiencies. He will meet all your physical and tangible needs until you are so full, you have no more capacity to hold anything else. He will supply all your needs until you are totally filled, packed full, and overflowing to the point of bursting at the seams and spilling over." That's what a man or a woman of God will experience in their lives. But we see here a person that does not trust God and is not walking by faith and is not standing on the Word of God. This is what happens. He will be like the heath in the desert and will not see when good comes. But he'll inhabit the parched places, the dried up places, and a salt land and not inhabited. You can't plant anything there. You can't plant anything in that. So we're looking at this man, but it's the same conditions. They're experiencing an economic downturn. Here's the second individual. Oh, this is really something. In verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is," he has his confidence set in the Lord. You know, where COVID-19 was concerned and news every day and what was taking place and then the residual effects of it, we have to trust God. We got to trust the Lord in everything because He's the one that has the supply. He's the one that has the healing. He's the one that has the deliverance. He's the one that sets us on high. So this man in the midst of this situation, blessed is the man. Blessed. Blessed means empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. And to be blessed, as we find out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, to be blessed, God blessed man. And He said, be fruitful, fruitful, multiply. The word multiply in the Hebrew is the word increase. It is the will of God for us to increase. Well, Pastor, is it the will of God for us to increase when the economic situation is turned around, when there's talk of recession or depression? Yes, absolutely. Even more so. Even more so, because God, El Shaddai, will prosper us even when the conditions don't seem like we should prosper. And you have to develop that mentality. You've got to see yourself prospering when everything else looks bad, prospering when everything is going down. Prosper. I am prospering. I am prospering. I am blessed beyond measure because God is my source. And He supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So this man, we're looking at this man in verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord." Say, "I trust in the Lord." "And whose confidence the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious or worried in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Wow, what a scripture that is. What a tremendous scripture that is. This man was blessed because he stood on his covenant. This man was blessed because he stood on his covenant. He stood unflinchingly on the covenant of God. And it says that he will be like a tree planted by the waters. Oh, I like that. To be like a tree drawing its nourishment from the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought. No matter what's going on, we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be full of care. We don't have to be worried. No, we trust God. We trust Him, and He turns things around. He was like that tree that's deep rooted, planted by the river, and he didn't even notice adverse conditions. Did you see that? You see that? He said, it says here that he's not careful in the year of drought, neither will cease from yielding fruit. He shall not see when heat comes. He doesn't even notice it. He doesn't even see it coming. He doesn't even see the adverse conditions. In spite of the year of drought, he never stopped producing fruit. He was successfully thriving. Well, you say, Pastor George, I have investments that I've made. I've invested in the market, and the market has been going up and it's been going down. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just the way the kingdom of God operates. He prospers everything we set our hands to. How does He do that? How does He prosper us in the midst of that? That is a supernatural operation of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not understand that. He doesn't comprehend that. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand how we can speak things into existence, and we can take the Word of God and stand on it. And the Word of God is a living, breathing entity. It has life to it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. I understand that. I understand because I remember before I was born again. I didn't get it. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. But boy, when I had an encounter with Jesus, the light went on and I was beginning to see it. And I see it now more than ever. More than ever. I see how this can happen. This man in verse 8 in the Message translation, listen to this. They're like trees replanted in Eden. Speaking of Eden, you know we got the Garden of Eden back. We have the Garden of Eden back. I call it the Eden effect. The Eden effect. Because wherever we are prospering like Adam and Eve prospered in the garden. That's for us today. That's for us. And we declare, like Pastor Terry and I, our house, we declare our home to be as a Garden of Eden in our neighborhood. Garden of Eden in the neighborhood. And we put up Christmas lights, or actually we have Christmas lights put up. Thank you. I'm so thrilled that I've graduated. But we do. We've got a guy that comes every year. Every year he comes and he puts up the lights, and they're beautiful. And in our particular neighborhood, the people just don't enjoy putting up lights. So our property shines for Jesus. I mean, it's just really, really bright. And the guy that does the lights, I always, when he sends me the bill, I always send him a check. I always send him a check, a tip that is so much higher than what he did the work for. I want to bless him because I'm blessed. Well, we declare that our home is as a Garden of Eden. And you need to do the same thing. It will change your house, your settings, and it will change your neighborhood. It will change your neighborhood. Now, let me give you a piece of pastoral advice here. You can do a lot to help that at your household. I suggest that you go out to your garage and clean it out this weekend. Clean out your garage. Clean out that mess. Get it straightened out. If you've got stuff on your lawn, clean it up. If you got stuff all over the backyard, clean it up. You've got to have an excellence mentality. The ministry of excellence. Brother Copeland has taught us that very well. And Pastor George, when Pastor George comes on the property, I have an eagle eye and I'm looking at this and I'm looking at that. I'm doing my Peter Pan stance here. I had them replace all of our stop signs on the property because they were fading out. And they were leaning over. And I'm like, that is not the ministry of excellence. And if you come to our property, you'll come on the property and you'll sense the ministry of excellence. You'll sense this place to be like a Garden of Eden. It's beautiful here. It's beautiful. And the Lord wants that. He wants the same thing for you. Let me finish this out with a quote from Pastor Bill Winston. This is so good. Talking about the same conditions, different results. He said, something may be coming in the economy. Whatever it may be, if a person is operating in kingdom principles, it will be just like they are in the ark at the time of the flood of Noah. The worse conditions got, the higher Noah rose. The worse things get, the higher kingdom people will rise in prominence in the earth. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that what a statement. Thank you, Pastor Bill Winston, we get excited about Pastor Bill Winston anyway. Woo! I mean, it is really something when he preaches to us. But this particular phrase here, talking about the difference, talking about same conditions, different results. And he's saying here, there may be something coming in the economy. So I hear a warning in that. But whatever it is, if we are operating in kingdom principles like I'm teaching you right now, it'll be just like being in the ark at the time of Noah. The higher the waters got, the more Noah rose. They rode on top of the waters. And he said, that's the same thing for kingdom people. The worse things get, the higher kingdom people will rise in prominence in the earth. There may be conditions around us that are adverse. We may be in the same conditions, but we get different results. We find different results. We are thriving. We are prospering. We are growing and developing. And I like what Pastor Bill said, we will rise in prominence in the earth. The last seconds that I have with you, I was on just some weeks ago, I was on a phone call with about 10,000 ministry leaders with the President of the United States. And I heard my president quote scripture. I heard the vice president quote scripture. I heard Franklin Graham pray. I heard a rabbi pray. Our government leaders are looking to the faith leaders. We are rising in prominence in the earth. So that's what we're talking about, prospering in tough times. And the foundation scripture that we talked about was from Colossians 1 and in 12, verse 12 and 13. And it talks about that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we no longer are subject to the times. We may be in this world, but we are not of it. Jesus prayed over us in John 17 and separated us out from that place of the evil in the world. We read a number of scriptures about that. We talked about the separation effect and how where the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen and there was light in the land of Goshen, darkness in the land of Egypt. So the Lord is showing us and revealing to us that we don't have to bow our knee to the economic times. No, we live in the kingdom culture of God. We should be operating in the kingdom culture of God. And no matter what is going on, like we quoted Bill Winston yesterday, talking about how when Noah was in the flood, he just kept rising to the top. Well, when things are tough and they look bad, we just keep rising in prominence to the top because we have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. The answer is His Word. The answer is standing on the Word of God, and you can make it through any situation, anything that's going on in your life. You have the Word of God to stand on. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You are standing in a place of God's glory to be able to reach out and receive from Him everything that is necessary for your life. So in this study, talking about prospering in tough times, I want to talk to you about flourishing. Flourishing in tough times. Let's look, first of all, at a scripture we looked at yesterday, Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 through 8. This was the scripture talking about the two different individuals They were in the same situation. There was an economic downturn. There was a famine. But one of them was trusting in himself. The other one was trusting in God. And you see the difference from one to the other. And here it is. Verse 5, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But on the other side, blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So the cursed man here, he trusts in himself and he has no heart for God. That's what this cursed man does. And the result, he's like a naked tree and a stunted shrub, producing no fruit, no hope, no future whatsoever. But the blessed man is the one who trusts God. Do you trust God today? I do. I trust Him with all of my heart. I trust Him with all of my soul. And I believe that you do as well, because in Him lies our hope. In Him is is our confidence, that no matter what is happening, and I've seen it over and over and over, I think about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the faithfulness of our God and how He has gotten us out of so many different situations and how He's done the same for you. He's protected you. He's healed you. He's delivered you. He's held you in His hand and He's taken care of you. And that's what happens to the blessed man. He trusts God. He trusts God and he has a heart for God. The result? He's like a thriving, productive, deep-rooted tree by the river. He has no worry. He has no fear. He has no concern. He constantly produces fruit in spite of the economy. Now, that's really something. When everything else is tanking, when everything else is going down, the believer who is standing on the Word of God, the blessed man, he's going the other direction. He's going the opposite direction. He is prospering in tough times. And one of the reasons why God wants to do that is He wants to show how we can be blessed in the midst of this so that others will come to us and say, how are you? How have you been blessed? What's going on? What's happening in your life? And how you're not failing and you're not falling. What's the answer? And you tell them Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to this. So the result was that he constantly produces fruit in spite of the economy. We don't go up and down. We just keep going up. We just keep going up. And I'm going to take you to a scripture. I kept thinking about this. I thought about it yesterday, and I didn't go to it. Then I was thinking about it just this moment. I thought, I'm going to go to that scripture if I can find it. I know it's in there. Isaiah was in my Bible. There it is. Isaiah, and I'm looking at the ninth chapter of Isaiah, talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is always on the rise. It's always increasing. It has never gone down. You've never heard the Heavenly Father say, I don't think we can afford it this time. I don't believe that He's ever said that before. Because the kingdom of heaven, actually, He supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it all belongs to Him. It's all coming from Him. But listen to this. This is Isaiah chapter 9. And it's so funny because so often we just read this at Christmas time. We ought to read it all the time. It says in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So the kingdom of God is on a constant increase. Increasing, multiplying, multiplying, multiplying all the time. It was God Himself who sowed His only begotten Son. What was the harvest of that? What was the harvest of His only begotten Son? Many sons. and many daughters, and many more sons, and many more daughters coming into the kingdom of God. So of the increase of His government and peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice, then henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the kingdom of God is always on the increase. Now, finishing up this scripture in Jeremiah 17, verse 8 in the Message translation. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf. Serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. Now it says here, her leaf shall be green. Her leaf shall be green. And I looked up the word green in the word in the Hebrew, and it means flourishing. Flourishing. It means to flourish. When you see that word green, it gives you the idea of flourishing. If you've ever seen beautiful botanical gardens with greenery everywhere, and it's flourishing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful to the eyes. It's like the Garden of Eden. Oh my, what was the Garden of Eden like? What was that garden like? I can just imagine the greenery, the colors, how it was flourishing. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. I do this sometimes. I go off on a tangent and I'll start looking up word definitions. And I was looking at this word flourish, because we do flourish. We flourish in tough economic times. We're flourishing all the time. We're flourishing here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I'm so grateful to the Lord. He's provided. He's supplied. He's ministered supply to us over and over again. Well, the word flourish means to prosper and to grow luxuriant, to grow luxurious. Whenever you think of the word luxurious, you think of opulence. You think of a beautiful home or beautiful landscaping, whatever it is. I remember one time Pastor Terry and I went to the Biltmore house in North Carolina. And what a palatial place that is. But the same designer who designed the Central Park also designed all of those Biltmore gardens. And those are gorgeous, just gorgeous. And I can remember driving in the entrance of the place and looking around and just seeing how opulent and how beautiful it was. And the Lord was ministering to me. That's like heaven. That's like heaven, but not only heaven, that's like days of heaven on earth. And that's what we should be experiencing. It's luxurious. To be flourishing is to be walking in a place of being luxurious. And so I looked up the word luxuriant. And the word luxuriant is characterized by rich and profuse growth. There's tremendous growth. Tremendous growth taking place in your life. We're growing. We're multiplying all the time. And it says, producing or yielding in abundance, excessively florid or elaborate. So I looked up the word elaborate. What does elaborate mean? And it means extremely productive or fertile. All of these words are tied to the word flourish. Flourish. We are flourishing all the time. Let me give you another scripture that relates to this. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. This is such a great scripture. I'll tell you why I really do like it. Like all of them, but this one is particularly good. But in the New King James, in verse 12 of Psalm 92, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, you and I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, and I've tested this with congregations before. I said, how many of you in here are righteous? And you can always tell the ones who've listened to Brother and Sister Copeland, because their hands will shoot up, because they know they've been created as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. That, to be successful, it is the will of God for us to be successful, that we will, everything that we set our hands to shall prosper. Even in a tough economic downturn, even in a tough time economically, we flourish. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Oh, those trees are magnificent. Those trees are glorious. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. What does it mean to be planted in the house of the Lord? Well, from a pastor's standpoint, whenever I've ministered to new members' classes in our church, I use this scripture. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those who are connected, you got to go to church. You have to go to church. I've heard some people talk about, well, I just don't need to go to church. And you have to, because there's such a presence of the Lord that comes into that room when we're experiencing that fellowship and that agreement and that corporate anointing together. It's a powerful thing. So I encourage our church members, be in church. Come to church. It's refreshing. You know, during the time when we weren't able to have the congregation coming into church, we were doing it virtually from our auditorium. And the Resurrection Day service that we had, when we're worshiping the Lord with just the few of us on the platform and nobody in the congregation, I am worshiping the Lord. I'm so grateful that I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm so grateful that I can come and be there. And the day that we had our resurrection service, we replayed three songs from the resurrection service we had last year. And I was standing right out front. I was by myself. There were several people over here, several people over here. We had our limit of 10. But I was standing there and I just lifted my hands before the Lord. I was standing right in front of the big screen and I was just worshiping the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Father, for the gatherings that we have together. So those that are planted, rooted, grounded, established in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall, I like this, they shall still bear fruit in old age. I like that. I like that. I am considered a senior citizen. I haven't really accepted it, but that's, you know, when you go into an IHOP and they have a whole section for you for senior citizens. And so I never thought about being one before, but I look at myself and I see myself just in the same way that Brother Copeland does. Brother Copeland is amazing. He's amazing. At 83 years old, that man is just on fire. Both Kenneth and Gloria, it's amazing to watch the two of them. And they are the examples that are set before us to live to that 120 years old. And it says, you shall still bear fruit in old age. What does that mean? You'll still be productive. You'll still be productive for the kingdom of God. You'll still be doing things in the kingdom of God. You'll still be proficient in what you're doing. They don't throw us away at a certain age. No, you look at Brother Copeland, and I told him this just the other day. The prophetic anointing on him is getting stronger. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because Brother Copeland ministered to me that with every decade comes a new anointing. A stronger anointing, a fresh anointing. So you should not lament when your next decade birthday comes. You should celebrate because you're about to enter in a new, fresh anointing. So it says that they shall still, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I'm fresh. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Flourishing. They'll be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When I was looking up this Hebrew word of flourish, it means to flower, to blossom, to break forth, to spread out, to enter into a state of prosperity, to increase in wealth, favor and honor, to grow vigorously, exuberantly, enlarge and expand, to become extremely successful. And it doesn't depend on what's happening in the world system or what's going on in the economy. This is always taking place. Let me read this scripture to you. Have just a short few moments left. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Verse 3 of the Message translation, you're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. That's us. That's who we are. We're always in blossom. Psalm 52:8, I'm like a green olive tree. Okay, what does the word green mean? It means to flourish, flourishing. I am like a flourishing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I like Proverbs 11:28. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Remember, to flourish, to succeed, to grow, to blossom, to reach new levels and new places. We flourish. We flourish in the toughest of times. We don't go down. We go up. And whatever investments we have, as a matter of fact, I'm going to pray over your investments right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over everyone who is watching. Those who have investments, we speak to them now in the name of Jesus. You flourish in the name of Jesus. You thrive in Jesus' name. You grow. You expand. You work for us right now. Money, we don't serve you. You serve us. Go to work. Go to work on our behalf. And I don't care what the economy looks like. I don't care what's going on with it. The things that affect me are flourishing because my God is my source. And we're not going down. We are going up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. How much time do I have? 2 minutes left. Well, Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Psalm 112, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The Bible in basic English says, a store of wealth will be in his house. You need to declare that over your house. You've got a store of wealth in your house. I am a very wealthy man, and I'm getting wealthier by the day. You need to be confessing that over your lives. Pastor Terry confessed that over ours. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So I am rich. Say, I am rich. I am wealthy. I am thriving. I am flourishing. In Jesus' name. In the Message translation of Psalm 112:3, it says, their houses brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. See, that's all connected to this. Our generosity is all connected to the wealth transfer and what belongs to us. In the last minute, let me read this to you. And you can get this online, the notes that I have here, but let me read this to you. And this is what I confess over myself. My life is flourishing. My family is flourishing. My health is flourishing. My business is flourishing. My finances are flourishing. My church is flourishing. I'm increasing in wealth, favor, and honor. I am growing vigorously and exuberantly. I am enlarging, expanding, and I'm becoming extremely successful. I flourish. I prosper, I thrive in tough times, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and honor you. I thank you, you're taking care of these people. You are taking care of these people in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. They are flourishing, they are thriving, they are growing in the midst of whatever economy we have going. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back through and just a quick summary of what we've been talking about since the beginning of the week. We read this scripture on Monday, and we talked about Colossians chapter 1 and starting in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We talked about being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Praise God, we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And we're living on that kingdom here on earth. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience the goodness of God and all that He wants to do in spite of what's going on, in spite of the situations that are taking place around us. And let me just read a couple of highlights of what we talked about, and then we'll finish up with the message for today. But we talked about the fact that we don't have to live. We no longer have to live under the dominion, the rule, the control, or the influence of whatever direction the economy and the world system is going at the moment. No, we are not subject to the times that we live in. We're not subject to the ups and the downs and the all-arounds. We're not subject to the curse of the law. And the curse of the law, as Sister Gloria has taught us, is everything that is bad. So we are not subject to that. Jesus became a curse for us, Galatians 3:13, so that we could be redeemed from the curse of the law in order to walk in the blessing of Abraham. We are subject to the blessing. You and I are subject to the blessing. And the blessing of the Lord is be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That's the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing really means to empower, to prosper, to enlarge, to increase, to grow, to develop, and to progress in our lives and to be successful in whatever He has called us to do. We are now subject to and governed by another economy and another system, and it's called the kingdom of God. The times are subject to us. We are subject to the authority of God's Word, the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus. So we don't just survive in tough times. We prosper and we thrive. And He, our God, will lift us up and over every economic situation that we face. I'm thinking right now about the children of Israel, and when they took the Passover lamb, they were all gathered together. They painted the blood over the lintels and the doorposts of their homes, and the death angel passed over. Well, that's the way we live. Death passes over. Poverty passes over. Sickness passes over. All of that passes over us. We're separated out from the kingdom of darkness, and we walk in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we talked about flourishing and the fact that we live in a time of same conditions but different results. There are conditions that are going on, but they affect people differently. Different things take place. So what I want to share with you today, this is very interesting. I want to talk to you about a supernatural economic turnaround. That you can have a supernatural economic turnaround in your life. And I'm using this account of Jesus with His disciples in Luke 5, in verses starting in verse 1. And I mean, I'm telling you, you get Jesus on board and your situation will turn around. You get Him in your boat and things will go well. You get Him with you. You bring Him into your situation and He will turn it around. Jesus turned around an entire economic system. Pastor George, how did He do that? Listen, here it is. So it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to push a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, notice here it says that the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. In the NIV, it says people were crowding around him and listening. The Message translation, the crowd was pushing in on him. What am I saying? The people were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry to hear what he said. But in verse 2, the fishermen were washing their nets instead of pressing into God. They were having a hard time. They were toiling. It says they were toiling and they were having a hard time. And they were like Martha. They were under great pressure about many things. The market was tanking. The fish market of the Galilee was tanking. It wasn't just this one night. They'd been experiencing this for quite some time. The Galilee, this was another non-productive, bad night, and they had nothing to show for it. The Galilee fishing industry was in a serious slump, and the market was failing. And they were facing bankruptcy. See, you see things into this that this is not just a one-off thing. They were struggling. They were struggling with their very lives. The answer to their problem was right in front of them, but they weren't listening. Listen, the answer is right in front of you, the Word of God. And the materials that we make available free from this ministry, all of those materials are available to you and to me. Well, the answer was right in front of them, but they weren't listening. In verse 3, Jesus asked Simon's permission to use his boat. And I'm kind of seeing how this was acting out. Simon was frustrated. He was frustrated. He was frustrated because they'd gone another night being unproductive, not flourishing, not thriving, not catching fish. And I kind of imagine Peter, Simon saying something like, yeah, whatever, go ahead. Go ahead, use the boat. So Jesus got up into the boat and he taught the word from Peter's boat. And he began to teach them about the anointing. The Anointed One. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in this year, in your ears. All debts were about to be released. But Peter's over there, mad, upset, trying to fix his nets that had to be fixed from the night before, of the non-productive night. So Jesus keeps on teaching. He just keeps on teaching the word. These guys are working over here. Jesus is teaching. And in verse 4, it says this. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon Peter and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I'm tired and I don't feel like doing that. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. The net. Jesus said nets because, you know, Jesus knew it was coming. Jesus was operating in his place from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. He had dominion over the fish of the sea. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Overflow. Overflow. This is overflow going on. And I just have this picture in my mind of what took place that day. And I would love to do some kind of an animated film about this, but I can see Jesus in the boat and he's talking and those guys are over here. They're working on cleaning up their nets. And I don't know, maybe Jesus turned around. They weren't listening. They're not listening to him. And Jesus turns around and he looks out to the Galilee and he said, I am blessed of the Lord and I speak to every fish in this lake. And I command you to come to me right now because I have dominion over the fish. Well, I envision this. And so Jesus talks to Peter. He's talking with him about letting down the nets. So Peter says, at your word, I'll do that. And so they let down the nets. And all of a sudden, I can hear this Jaws music. Jaws. You know what I'm talking about? Bum, 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 bum. And Peter's looking out over the Galilee. And all of a sudden, you can see the waters. The waters are moving. It's like they're moving and they're all converging into this one place and you can't really see it, but it looks like the waters are moving closer and closer to Peter. And all of a sudden, as he's looking, he's seeing fish. There are fish everywhere. Fish are starting to jump. Fish are all over the place. What did Jesus do? He called every fish in the Galilee. They were headed Peter's way. They're headed his way and they are just converging on him. And Peter is, he's seeing all of this take place. And there, where was I? I can't find the place where I was. Anyway, oh yeah, and their boats began to sink. He's starting to sink. And so it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Well, let me tell you this. I got a revelation about this. Oh, let me just read this. I skipped all over this. But we toiled all night with absolutely no results. We worked hard. We were fatigued. I'll let down the net. One broken net he let down. Faith plans for more than enough. Faith plans for more than enough. If we expect the supernatural, we will get it. And so it says they enclosed a great number of fish and their net broke. Well, if you look at John 21:11, it tells you that one net will hold 153 big fish. So in that particular net, there were 153 big fish and they were overflowing. What was this? This was actually Peter's harvest of sowing his boat into Jesus. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew Peter. He knew John. He knew these families. He knew the struggles that they were under. He knew the problems that were going on. He knew that the fish market had gone way down. They were going down and down and down. He knew these people. And Jesus got up there to preach about it that day. And he was demonstrating. He was demonstrating the blessing of the Lord that in the midst of an economic fish market downturn, he could get in the middle of that thing, declare the word of God, call those fish in, and turn around that family's life. That's what he was doing. It's exactly what Jesus was doing. And so when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was convicted. This was so huge. This was so massive. This was so gigantic. He was convicted by it. For he and all who were with him were astonished. They were absolutely shocked. They'd never seen anything like this before. They were totally astonished by it. And they said, Where am I? They were astonished. They were with them, astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. I'm getting so into this. I'm losing my place. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, all of these guys who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. I wrote down here in verse 8, he said, I'm a sinful man. He realized how foolish he was to not listen to Jesus. It's foolish to not listen to Jesus in bad economic times because he's going to show you what to do. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you what to invest in. He'll show you where to sow your money. He'll show you how to call the harvest out on it. He'll show you. He's not oblivious to the financial condition. He knows all about it. And then in verse 9, the commercial fishermen and everyone else were astonished at the catch of fish. They'd never seen anything like this before. They had never seen a catch like this in the history of their fishermen lives. Never, never, and never seen it with their daddies either. This was a first. This was a major first. And as I said, Jesus was operating from the blessing of Genesis 1:26-28. He took dominion over the fish. He changed the Galilee fishing industry by operating the kingdom of God principles. This was a huge supernatural economic turnaround. And you can believe for that in your own life if you listen and you obey and you hear the voice of the Lord and you feed on the Word of God and you feed on it and you feed on it and you feed on it, He will turn that around. He will turn that around. And I believe that there are people in Washington, D.C., including the president and the vice president, who pray. They pray. They are seeking the Lord. I was watching Bishop Harry Jackson at Passover in the Oval Office. He called Brother Copeland before he went into the White House. They invited Bishop Harry Jackson to come and to pray in the Oval Office. And I'm watching this. And he's using the book of Exodus, and he's talking about COVID-19 passing over, the Passover, and relating that to the blood of Jesus. And there's the president sitting at his desk, and there's the vice president standing next to him. These people in the high offices of our nation are praying, and they're inviting us to come in. They're inviting men and women of God to come in and have influence. So I'm telling you right now, for any president, and even a few days before that, it was the president of Brazil that was asking for prayer and fasting over his nation. We're seeing it more and more. We're seeing it more and more take place. That these leaders of these nations are realizing that they need to call upon the Lord. They need to call upon Him for help to get them out of the situations they're in. And you need to know today that our president and vice president, and there are other people in Washington, D.C. who are praying, and they're believing God, and they're calling upon the leaders of this nation to help them. And because of that, there will be an economic turnaround in the United States of America. We declare it in the name of Jesus. We decree it in the name of Jesus. And we stand for every nation that's watching us right now. Your nation. We pray for your leaders. We pray for your kings, your presidents, those in leaderships, your prime ministers, and believe that they'll call upon the Lord, the word of the Lord, and the ministers of God. There's changes taking place in Canada. There are changes taking place in Latin America. There are changes taking place in Europe, in China, in Asia, all over the world. There are changes taking place. And we see a turn. We see a turn to, oh, Father, we release our faith right now, especially here in the United States, for an economic turnaround that is going to be so huge. It's going to be so massive. We will be astonished, just like those fishermen were. Father, Jesus, come into our boat. Come into the boat of our nation. Come into the boat of our president. And we receive flourishing prosperity once again in the United States of America. And Lord, we believe it. We believe it for other nations, every nation, every nation, every nation where Kenneth Copeland Ministries is in the offices, in every nation upon this earth. For if coronavirus can get the attention of the entire world, so can Jesus. We declare that Jesus is Lord over this world. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you for the turnaround in the nations and in our very lives. Amen and amen. I'll be right back.
We live in a time when challenges and uncertainty surround us. Jesus said we are in this world, but not of it. We function under a different and stable kingdom. God is our refuge and stronghold in times of trouble. No matter what is happening around us, we shine as a light of God's protection and goodness. We thrive and not just survive. The How to Prosper in Tough Times package includes a 10-part series with Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons. The study notes of all 10 sessions are also included and are useful to delve deeper into the scriptures taught in the messages or are great for you to share with others. This series will encourage you and strengthen your trust in God. Understand how much God loves you and that He is well able to take care of you no matter the circumstances. You can experience His supernatural provision in your life today. Request your free copy of How to Prosper in Tough Times, an in-depth study by Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons on how to apply God's Word to any situation and come out victorious. Go to kcm.org/tvspecial or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
There are some people that are watching us right now. Some of you are how do I describe it? You're at the end of your rope. You don't know what to do. Some of you have contemplated suicide. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pray this prayer with me right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, take my life and do something with it. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. And I will speak in other tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as we just prayed that, I just really sensed that there was hope that just was born on the inside of you, that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're not going to quit. You're not going to die. You're not going to fold. You're not going to fail. Because Jesus, you just invited Jesus in your boat. And when Jesus got in the disciples' boat, I'm telling you, they got to the other side. And that's what He wants to do with you. He wants to get you to the other side. And Kenneth and Gloria have written a special book for you called He Did It All For You. And in this book, you'll get a basic understanding of what it is to be a believer in Christ Jesus. And we've got some brochures that we want to send to you. Just go to kcm.org and we'll see that you get this and receive this, and it will really, really help you.
My name is Artem, and it's my beautiful wife, Marina. We are pastoring in Ukraine, and we have a beautiful church. This church started, maybe you know him, it's Rick Renner. He started this church, and now we're pastoring this church, and it's a beautiful, gracious people. Before my meeting with Pastor Rick, this program, it's only one food, spiritual food for me.
It was the only spiritual food he had, the Believer's Voice of Victory. And he started his, like, growing in faith with this program.
With this program.
We got hold of this word of prosperity, the word of faith, and we began to look it up in the Word, and we found the scriptures, and we began to stand on the scriptures, to stand on the Word of God, and just to proclaim and do what the Word of God says. We began to sow, and then God told us He stretched us, and He said, sow more, because the one who sows generously will reap generously. And we began to sow more, and we began to see such miracles in our lives. We were just given a car in a restaurant. We sat with the family, and they said, God told us 3 times to bless you with this car, and they gave us the key. But it was such a glorious time, because we believed God for a car for a couple of years, and because we couldn't afford to buy it. And we didn't. My husband said, no debts, no. No, we don't go to bank. We just believe God. It's okay, we believe God. Okay, let's believe God. And so we understood that only God, He is the only way. Here, everybody has car. There, not everybody have car. Not everybody. And plus, we had 2 children, and we needed car because we used taxi a lot. We used transport, buses, and so on. But we needed car. And God is faithful. He was, He is, and He will be faithful. And when we got pregnant with our 3rd child, we rented a flat. I said, God, we need our own house, please. And God said, okay, just believe, just trust in me, just proclaim the word. And we listened to programs with Pastor George and Sister Gloria about how to believe
a large place, like in Psalms. You know, God put us in a large place.
Yeah. And we started to believe for our own house, just proclaiming, saying these words, decreeing the right scriptures, and of course, sowing. When we came to minister conference 2018, we brought our seed with us, of course, and we sowed this seed. And I remember God, I heard God in my spirit saying, now you bought a house. I was like, wow, can we buy a house for this seed? He said, yes, my kingdom works not like this world. In my kingdom, you can buy a house for this seed because harvest will come. Miracle started, just miracle happened because the 1 week before the birth of our Benji, we were blessed with the house. Just
yes, and it's like supernatural.
It's not like it's supernatural because my, Artem counted that to buy this house he would have needed 200 years.
200 years. Yes.
With his salary, he would have needed to buy this house. So, and we just were given, but we know that it was God because nobody could do it without him.
Yes.
Because he is Almighty God. He can do anything if he
in any country.
In any country, if you believe
in Ukraine,
him.
In Russia, in the United States.
Yes, if you believe
nothing
him,
is impossible with our God.
If you trust him, if you trust his word, you will do what his word says. Because if you know that it's true, you will do what it says. And when you do what it says, it just brings the results of the word of God.
It's like an honor for us to be a part of this and have this partners with Brother Copeland and Sister Gloria. This message brings results. And we've seen it not only in this country, but in our country too.
That testimony just really, really touched me. It really blessed me. You know, the things that we were talking about today, talking to nations, and to think how the Lord can provide in any nation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't say this nation, well, you can't, prosperity doesn't work in this nation or doesn't work in this nation. It works wherever it is put to work. It works wherever the Word of God is. And to see this couple, precious couple, from Ukraine, and to see the Lord provide for them a debt-free car and then the house. Well, God is no respecter of persons, and what He did for them, He will do for you. But you have to listen very carefully to what they were saying and how they were sowing, how they were acting, the words they were speaking. They were using their faith. And just a few short days before Benji was born, they got the house. They were in their house. And this is in Ukraine. This is in a country that has struggled. But it doesn't matter where you are. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter if you're in Europe or you're in the United States or you're in Asia or wherever in the world you are, the Word of God works for you. And I do know that it is the will of God for you to prosper. It's the will of God for you to increase. And as a matter of fact, as this being offering day on this broadcast, I want to read this scripture to you in the 115th Psalm. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He's been mindful of you. And He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And how does increase come? It comes by sowing. Sowing into the kingdom of God. And I know that our faithful partners and friends, as you sow today, sow into the work of this ministry and what we're doing. And we're expanding all the time. And there are things right now on the drawing board that I know of that we are about to just explode in getting the Word of God all over the world. So you can be a part of this with us. Join us in this offering. And we thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you to all of our partners around the world. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. You're sowing into a ministry that specializes in using faith. And through partnership, we're hearing supernatural testimonies of God's abundance. Well, thank you for helping us send the gospel all around the world so people everywhere can experience the love of God. Well, go to church this weekend. I invite you to join us online at emic.org. Jesus is coming soon. This is Pastor George Pearson's reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus loves you. is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.